The fifth principal ahuna is Kala. All change is possible. Remember the source of the Huna principles? They are drawn from the Hawaiian pre-warrior society before the Tahitian chiefs came. The original inhabitants of Hawaii were living in a paradise according to the spiritual principles of Huna. We are revivifying and redefining these principles to help guide us through the unpredictable ways of our uncertain future. Kala is Huna principle number 5. All change is possible. There are only eternal horizons in every and any direction. There is no final answer to anything. When there is no choice, there is always a choice. When there is no way, there is always a way. Tony Robbins said, "There is always a way if you are committed." Walter Russell said, "All knowledge exists in the universe and is available to anyone who seeks it with earnest desire." Wormholes. Path presupposes distance. If he be near, no path needest thou at all. Verily, it maketh me smile to hear of a fish in water athirst. That's from Kabir. As we have seen, singularities, black holes, are built into every atom, every cell, every plant, every animal, every human, every alien, every planet, every sun, every galaxy. Each singularity is a sacred heart or a strange attractor, a wormhole. Wormholes are holes in the fabric of reality that penetrate into other dimensions and realities. Wormholes are magical vortices of highly enfolded knowledge and cosmic imagination beyond our own normal waking understanding. Essentially, a wormhole is God's mind's eye peeking in. In the realm of the wormhole, all rational thinking and logic break down. The wormhole is irrational. In order to have a habitually rational reality, you must have an irrational component filled with exceptions somewhere. That is the wormhole or singularity. Basically, wormholes are an intrinsic part of all matter and, in the case of mana, ormus, the wormhole, or atomic nucleus, is bigger than in normal matter and more influential in creating irrational, synchronistic phenomena in this reality. Wormholes indicate that, in spite of the rational and logical habits of nature, anything can happen at any time. We can at any time open our heart to the unknown, the infinite possibilities of existence. We can at any time say yes to Kala. All change is possible. We live in an anything can happen type of dream. You never can tell what is going to happen next. The future is uncertain. That's what makes living so much fun. Opening and expanding awareness. Language illiteracy is not nearly as dangerous as cosmic illiteracy. If you know your place in the cosmos, at least as best as you can understand it at the fringes of your imagination, you have leverage, insight, awe, and mystery. Choices and change become possible. If you don't know your place in the cosmos, you have bills, politics, boredom, and television to contend with. Cosmic literacy is created by awareness. Our point of view holds that awareness is a primary component of consciousness and of individual potential and opportunity. Therefore, opening and expanding awareness, by all means necessary, may be considered the highest of human pursuits. The opening and flowering of awareness can happen slowly, quickly, spontaneously, immediately, anytime, anywhere. Some practical philosophies, lifestyles, and practices that facilitate the opening and expansion of awareness include innocent perception, diverse reading, expansive traveling, dietary exploration, plant shamanism, yoga, qigong, unique film viewing, meditation, contemplation, birthing, parenting, multiple relationship styles, diverse athletic training, agricultural pursuits, gardening, animal communication, gaining financial independence, studying particular subjects independently or through disciplined educational institutions, loving relationships, public speaking, and many more. Shamanism, emissaries of the plant mind. Traditionally, the individual who was most interested in and who accelerated furthest into the depths of awareness and self-transformation was a tribal shaman. The world's oldest profession is not what we thought it was. The world's oldest profession is that of the shaman, medicine woman, kahuna, or witch doctor. Historically and mythologically, the true shaman comes into being through a near-death or highly symbolic death experience. Upon returning from the edge, the shaman has seen into the depths of the abyss, lost the fear of death and life, gained a connection with invisible spiritual realms, and has attained superhuman powers. Afterwards, she or he has access to unusual knowledge, wisdom, abilities, and healing skills. The shaman has gained the understanding that the universe is made up of language, not atoms. Author and techno-shaman Terence McKenna said, "I don't believe that the world is made of quarks or electromagnetic waves or stars or planets or any of these things. I believe the world is made of language. Language is information or code. Thus the universe consists of code." The shaman realizes this and then goes to work to hack into the universe. A key aspect to hacking the universe involves an internal transformation created by retelling a new, better story of one's personal history. Capabilities, level of awareness, attitude, cellular identity, soul's purpose, physical appearance, ability to relate to others, sexuality, and destiny. The shaman directs energy inward towards spiritual, emotional, and physical perfection and encourages the tribe to do the same. This orientation inward seems to go a long way towards solving outer crises before they manifest as pessimism, doubt, anger, greed, control, conflict, war, etc. The shaman usually becomes particularly interested in healing plants and herbalism. This leads to explorations into herbal medicines and tribal diet reformation. From the novel habit of trying new herbs and medicines first on her or himself, the shaman becomes a good metabolizer of poisons. The shaman tends towards spiritual pursuits, and therefore diets are selected that are predominantly plant-based and light. Because the food is less dense, more nourishment is required from subtler forces. Because the shaman is often concerned with the hardcore religious experience, the deepest sources and urges of the life force, this may result in a specific exploration into the power plants that interface psychically with human consciousness when ingested. These plants contain hacking codes, entheogenic compounds or entheogens, that allow the shaman to peer into the wormholes of reality. The power plants include ayahuasca, San Pedro, peyote, magic mushrooms, iboga, cannabis consumed raw, salvia divinorum consumed raw, etc. To the shaman, alterations of consciousness and perspectives are a way of life. The traditional use of power plants flavors each season with meaning and excitement. They add wonder, making life even more mysterious and fascinating. Through communion with power plants, the shaman becomes an emissary of the plant mind. This may take the form of environmentalism, organic agriculture, tree planting, stewarding of sacred lands, and/or reverence for herbs and plant-oriented nutrition. Biochemical enlightenment is a real phenomenon. The shamanic plant path brings the tribal goal into view. Genuine love, laughter, happiness, and inspiration, all under the umbrella of paradise on earth. Peering into the wormholes of reality, using power plants or other means, allows each individual shaman to achieve a galactic alignment of their soul with all of creation. From the source to galaxies, to suns, to planets, to aliens, to humans, to technologies, to animals, to plants, to ormus minerals, to nature spirits, and every frequency before, after, and in between. An inner alignment of consciousness opens a portal leading toward beauty as a way of life, as a consistent, enhanced feeling. The Baxter Effect. Reports of the Baxter Effect conveyed plant consciousness to the minds and hearts of people throughout the world. Clive Baxter delivered proof of a truth that shamans have known since time began. On one unassuming morning in February 1966, Clive Baxter made a scientific discovery that changed the history of biology forever. Baxter was at that time an interrogation specialist who left the CIA to operate a New York school for training policemen in the techniques of using the polygraph or lie detector test. The polygraph measures electrical resistance of the human skin and can reveal emotional uncertainty about different questions, indicating tendencies towards truthful or false answers. However, on that fateful morning, a new potential for this instrument came to light. Just after watering an office plant, Baxter was struck by a unique idea. Was it possible, by recording the increase in leaf moisture content with the polygraph, to measure the rate at which water rose into the plant from the roots to the leaves? Baxter attached two psychogalvanic reflex, PGR, electrodes on either side of the leaf of a Dracaena massangiana, a potted rubber plant, and balanced his instrument before watering the plant again. There was no notable reaction to this stimulus. That is when Baxter decided to try what he called the threat to well-being principle, an established method for triggering emotional responses in people. First, he dipped one of the office plant's leaves into a cup of hot coffee. According to the polygraph, the plant did not react. Second, he decided to get a match and burn the leaf properly. At the instant of this decision, at 13 minutes and 55 seconds of chart time, there was a dramatic change in the PGR tracing pattern in the form of an abrupt and prolonged upward sweep of the recording pen. Baxter stated, "I had not moved or touched the plant, so the timing of the PGR pen activity suggested to me that the tracing might have been triggered by the mere thought of the harm I intended to inflict on the plant." The shamanic journey unleashed. Professional priests and theologians avoid the religious experience. As by Timothy Leary from The Politics of Ecstasy. If hallucinogens, entheogens function as interspecies chemical messengers, then the dynamic of the close relationship between primate and hallucinogenic power plant is one of information transfer from one species to the other. Where plant hallucinogens do not occur, such transfers of information take place with great slowness. But in the presence of hallucinogens, a culture is quickly introduced to ever more novel information, sensory input, and behavior, and thus is bootstrapped to higher and higher states of self-reflection. That's by Terence McKenna, The Food of the Gods. The relatively recent explosion of power plants and entheogenic psychedelic compounds into the consciousness of the world has transformed the planet. It has helped usher in the computer age, the internet, the flowering of spirituality, the sexual revolution, empowerment of women, global movements of disarmament, the continued devaluation of materialism, environmentalism of all sorts, and more feeling for our planet. Unfortunately, it has also cast individual souls into madness, depression, irreconcilable vistas of thought, and irresponsibility. Should the power plants be available to the public? Are psychedelic experiences to be had by you and me? Are everyday individuals capable of integrating such experiences? The flip side to the expansion of awareness and the inflow of knowledge using power plants is the potential for danger. Many people are not completely in their bodies. Their nutrition and overall level of mental and emotional health do not supply an ample amount of groundedness to allow their soul to remain fully anchored. Therefore, the psychedelic experience may be rife with side effects of mental illness, abusiveness, erratic behavior, the inability to integrate the experiences, flashbacks, spirit possession, entity attachments, irresponsibility, etc. However, to put things in context, the danger of alcohol is hundreds of times greater than the danger of all the power plants combined. It has been estimated that 0.7% of the planet is drunk at any one time. Alcohol, especially distilled alcohol, also known as hard liquor, is the most dangerous of recreational drugs. Alcohol exacerbates control issues in people. Alcohol inhibits proper judgment, creates erratic behavior, increases meat consumption, causes dehydration, elevates anger, clouds one from seeing the consequences of one's actions, and invites one to forget. Alcohol abuse seems to symbolize everything that is wrong with civilized humanity. On top of this, drunk driving is one of the Western world's leading killers. The fear and smear of entheogens is mostly exaggerated due to ignorance. Smear campaigns against entheogens are not new. The Spanish were battling the indigenous Mexican culture over the same three entheogens that are commonly debated today: peyote, or its extracted crystal mescaline; magic mushrooms, or its extracted crystal psilocybin; and ololiki, otherwise known as morning glory seeds, or its extracted crystal LSA, one molecule different from LSD. That altered states of consciousness are natural, that plant medicines may help us experience a deeper organic connection with life so that we may better come to know the true nature of ourself through these experiences, is a fact well known to the Illuminati. This understanding is a driving force behind the entheogen smear campaign and the simultaneous production and distribution of the worst forms of psychoactive synthetic drugs. Chemical concoctions such as crystal meth and its amphetamine derivatives such as ice, cocaine, methadone, valium, prescription amphetamines, prescription antidepressants, and many, many other dangerous psychoactive compounds are specifically engineered substances which distort one's perception of oneself and the world around us. The toxic side effects of these drugs are extremely destructive, and their addictive component is usually maximal. Probably one of the most ridiculous positions put forward by the establishment is that the legalization of drugs or entheogens will cause society to disintegrate. Yet what we find is that the food of civilization, nutrient-deficient, genetically modified fare, is causing people to disintegrate. The food of civilization causes people to become demineralized, disconnected, ungrounded, unhealthy, and thus susceptible to danger with entheogens. The dangerous food of civilization, of course, is perfectly legal. Its production is government subsidized. The strongest argument for the legalization of any drug is that society has been able to survive the legalization of alcohol. If we can tolerate the legal use of alcohol, what drug cannot be absorbed in the structure of society? As Terence McKenna again from The Food of the Gods. The appropriate use of entheogens. The entheogens are powerful tools. They demand a price of admission. You have to pay to play. You also have to pray to play. In the hands of the right people with the correct nutrition, a formal ceremony, the proper intent, and a shaman to lead the experience, power plants can be extraordinarily healing and useful. With appropriate usage, entheogens produce acute effects and only subtle or no side effects. In fact, the main side effects are more psychological than anything else. In the short term, entheogens can be catalysts to the development of the imagination. In the long term, entheogens create links between plant consciousness and the human world. The primary role of the shaman in a shamanic plant ceremony is to protect and safely lead others through psychic, spiritual energies or journeys. Training and instruction by a wise shaman are recommended when exploring the power plants. One should look for the following characteristics in a shaman: patience, humility, wisdom, loving dedication, sensitivity to the senses, imagination, an open heart, and extreme groundedness. Most important of all is groundedness. The shaman or witch doctor must be the most grounded, level-headed member of the tribe. As Kerouac wrote of his famous character Dean in On the Road, "And Dean talked, no one else talked. He gestured furiously. He leaned as far as me sometimes to make a point. Sometimes he had no hands on the wheel, and yet the car went straight as an arrow, not for once deviating from the white line in the middle of the road that unwound, kissing our left front tire. No matter what, that tire was hugging that white line. That is how the shaman must be in order to navigate exotic forms of consciousness. If you are not like that, then the shaman's path is not for you." The last thing we need on the planet is more flakes. Even Ken Casey, with his wily crew of merry pranksters who pioneered the psychedelic bus concepts in the 1960s, was sure that his crew were not spaced out junkies. They were intensely competent. They had to be able to catch and run with the ball at any moment. The indigenous shamans of Central and South America are not fools nor irresponsible clowns either. They are great mothers and fathers of humankind. The earth has always been understood by these native herb doctors. They are as essential as jungles, deserts, and rocks to the health of the earth. They know that the egomaniac, unsettled, self-important, money-mad ambassadors of Western civilization are on a timer that is ticking. These shamans are currently conspiring with plant consciousness to help heal people, cities, and environmental catastrophes. Set and setting. Ram Dass and Timothy Leary pioneered the understanding that set, internal mood and state of feeling, and setting, location, are major factors that determine the effects of the shamanic experience. Additionally, the quality and energy surrounding the plant itself are primary factors that determine the effects of the shamanic experience. Typical qualities of power plants. They help reconnect individuals with nature, plant, animals, and geography. They help reconnect individuals with each other, opening of the heart. They can decrease appetite. They help alleviate or soften disease conditions. They help alleviate or soften chronic conditions. They naturally help numb pain. They can increase energy. They can help confer immunity. They can improve cognition. They allow for creative self-reflection. Words other than drug for power plants. Entheogen, magic molecule, medicine, sacrament, dehallucinogen, truth serum, reality intensifier, heart opener, de-fearing agent, sacred substance, food of the gods, adaptogen. Ormus and entheogens. The connection between the Ormus elements and power plants and compounds is not understood. Although preliminary research findings suggest that power plants grown with Ormus-rich substances, e.g. ocean water or ocean-grown plant composts, are more complete, healthy, and full of potential experience. The United States criminal justice industry. If you are an entheogenic explorer who feels you can safely navigate the psychedelic space, we recommend that you remain careful to avoid America's criminal justice industry, as its goal is to deposit in prison those who expand their consciousness. Explorations of consciousness are recommended to take place in countries outside the USA. At present, more than 2 million people are in US jails. Of these, it is estimated that 13% are in for violent crimes and 67% are in for drug-related crimes. Of course, we feel that the idea of illegal plants is completely ridiculous. Yet this is all part of learning to love the darkest stage of botanical genocide. Technology and entheogens. We have met living masters, and thus we do not believe that all the masters are dead. But it may be true that all the technological masters are dead. Technological masters are highly spiritual individuals who completely understand how to design, build, construct, and prototype environmentally beneficial technologies in the form of free energy machines that run on water and air. We believe that certain specific areas of mastery may only be learnable from certain power plants. Our experience has indicated that many of the answers to questions regarding technological data as they pertain to free energy machines may be known by certain power plants. It is possible that these plants are the key to our eventual arrival in heaven, outer space. By all accounts, the power plants contain one or more masters, enlightened teachers within them. Carlos Castaneda in the Toltec tradition called the presence of an intelligent master within a power plant an ally. Time bends without bending. Can time change without time changing? Consciousness clicks off a certain amount of impressions each second. Let's say that normal waking consciousness clicks off about 300 impressions per second. Under the influence of entheogens or other altered forms of consciousness, or when viewing the product of a high-speed camera, the impressions received by one's consciousness can increase to 1,000 impressions per second, and time will appear to slow down. Ultimately, the amount and depth of impressions available to consciousness per second is infinite. But in order for us to make sense of this reality, this infinity is reduced to a number that the human nervous system can handle and make sense of. Ayahuasca. This is from Dave Wolf. Ayahuasca is an entheogenic beverage from the Amazon made as a boiled down tea, primarily from two plants, Banisteriopsis carpi and Psychotria viridis. The shamanic history of ayahuasca is legendary, and its impact on Amazonian shamanism and now the world is profound. In recent years, this sacred brew has traveled out of the Amazon with various shamans and the Santo Daime Church. The two ayahuasca plants are now being grown in tropical regions all over the planet. I first drank ayahuasca in Amsterdam and in the summer of 2001. I had just finished a lecture on raw food nutrition to a small group of interested individuals in one of the local conference halls. One of the attendees mentioned to me that he was conducting an ayahuasca ceremony in a loft nearby that evening and invited me and my companions to attend. We quickly agreed without realizing what we were really getting into. I believe in the power of plant spirit medicine. It is one of the fundamental tenets of my nutrition and herbal profession. However, I had never felt the power of the plant spirit so strongly as that night of drinking ayahuasca. The experience was overwhelming. I had brought two companions with me. One companion, a young woman from Spain, quickly became ill after drinking the brew and chose not to drink any further. Soon she fell asleep. My other companion drank once with me and we both seemed only mildly affected by the beverage. We sat and talked for an hour or so in the corner of this rather large loft space somewhere in the middle of Amsterdam. There were other individuals participating, at least 10 others, and then there was the shaman leading the ceremony and his female assistant. Upon observing others on the first drink, we could clearly see that some of the individuals were being strongly, psychically altered by the brew, especially a beautiful young Italian woman who seemed to be so innocent. Ayahuasca performed an exorcism of some kind of spirit from her that night that was one of the most profound and shocking things I have ever witnessed. During the period of our first drink, my companion was being rather offensive to others. I was a little annoyed by him and gradually began feeling that it was better to start going into silent meditation. He continued to talk, to disturb others, and to display rude behavior. Once we imbibed our second drink, the intense visions that ayahuasca delivers overcame all of my ego. My friend, who had become quite rude, went deeper and deeper into despair, and eventually was humbled in what could only be described as a dark night of the soul. I had to clean up after him, and it was a rather full-on experience under the circumstances of my own level of entheogenic inebriation. Since that first experience, I've drunk ayahuasca more than 30 times with various shamans throughout North America and in the Amazon. When used with positive intent, I have found ayahuasca to be a tremendous ally, a spirit of pure love, interested in the delivery of humankind from fear, arrogance, and environmental degradation. However, just like all other powerful medicines, it must be properly prepared, taken with the proper shaman, and with the appropriate intent. Ayahuasca opens up psychic portals that are usually beyond an untrained individual's ability to close. Ayahuasca is far too powerful a substance to be consuming recreationally. Ayahuasca is a soul medicine that I believe is going to play a key role in the great drama of the ages that seems to be presenting itself in the form of the intensity of our spiritual, environmental, political, and economic crisis. I believe that ayahuasca contains a vast library of information and knowledge that can be drawn upon to heal our relationship with our souls and our planet. At the moment, a primary reason for my continued use of ayahuasca is that I am exploring the history of the human race through this visionary plant. I have learned from ayahuasca and different shamans that it is not from the Amazon originally, but was brought to the Amazon from Africa during Atlantean times. The vine is from Egypt, or an area of Africa now under the sea, or a formerly tropical region that is now a desert. This seems to explain the association in the ayahuasca visionary state of Egyptian deities more than any other pantheon. Dark-skinned peoples, Atlantean technology, as well as the whole Santa Daime focus on the Holy Lands, saintly figures, Jesus and Mother Mary, and the Temple of Solomon. I also enjoy what ayahuasca has taught me about other plants. As a divining substance that helps elicit the spiritual power of herbs, ayahuasca is unrivaled. This is an area that I am sure will be of continued interest throughout the future. Currently, consuming ayahuasca with the Santa Daime Church in the United States of America is legal. Entheogens awaken the ability to have hypersensory perception and then later help us to remain connected to these sensory perceptions during our normal state of consciousness. Ayahuasca, San Pedro, peyote, iboga, magic mushrooms, cannabis when eaten raw or chewed, salvia divinorum when eaten raw or chewed, etc., open doors that you cannot see or feel otherwise. They therefore quickly help you find these doors without having to waste dozens of years in meditation or in contemplation. Like a good book, entheogens condense time. Primarily, entheogens can be activators of heart-centered awareness. The shaman's advice is to use power plants, if necessary, to open the doors into the heart. Once these doors are open, you do not require the power plants anymore. An opening has occurred. Well, it has to do with the peyote being not simply a biological, mechanical, chemical effect, but one of spiritual transformation. If you undergo a spiritual transformation and have not had preparation for it, you do not know how to evaluate what has happened to you, and you get the terrible experiences of a bad trip, as they used to call it with LSD. If you know where you are going, you won't have a bad trip. That's Joseph Campbell with the Bill Moyers from The Power of Myth. Pursuing the religious life today without using psychedelic drugs is like studying astronomy with the naked eye, because that's how they did it in the first century AD. And besides, telescopes are unnatural. That's from Timothy Leary, The Politics of Ecstasy. Today's heresy is tomorrow's orthodoxy. Action. Better active today than radioactive tomorrow. Some of us have always had a very strong predilection or prejudice or leaning towards the idea that it's not just all spiritual, that we're incarnated in a physical body for a physical reason, and we are here to take action. So we believe in taking action, and action speaks louder than words. One of the reasons why entheogens and power plants are not for everybody is because the abuse of such substances can paralyze the very core of what it takes to succeed in life, the ability to take action. Action is powerful in this world. Practice makes perfect. Disciplined efforts over time create results. Discipline immediately creates order out of chaos. The industrialist Andrew Carnegie put it this way: anything worth having is worth working for. Success speaker Jim Rohn says it this way: discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons. Through repetition, the magic is forced to rise. That's an alchemical principle. Mastery is achieved through repetition and practice. The master understands that doing a thing well is never trouble. Kala is active. Awareness without action is not nearly as powerful as awareness with action. It is all about action. It is about setting goals. It is about taking the vision, whether it is a plant in juice or otherwise, and going out into the world and doing something. We believe in taking massive action. That's a prejudice that we have. Some people disagree and feel that it's all about being and that we must meditate in a cave and pray for the salvation of humanity. We don't buy that that is the goal for everyone. We believe in thought, word, and deed. Right now there are yogis still meditating in high altitude caves in the Himalaya. We're glad they are there, but we need more action because meanwhile, down here, we've got depleted uranium being used daily by the US military. We've got Chernobyl. We've been sprayed with chemtrails. We've got all kinds of terrorism against innocent citizens being planned, developed, and executed by factions of our own governments that then have blamed or will blame the whole thing on someone far, far away. There are unbelievable levels of deception. Those yogis are still in that cave. They're still meditating. They're still upside down in an inversion, and it's all good. They're doing the whole trip, right? They're still in lotus position, right now, at this second. Is it enough? The beautiful thing about action is that it fits you perfectly. Whatever your area of interest, immediately start taking even more action in that direction. For example, let's say you're an artist. Create more art. Keep pumping it out full on day and night. Get fully into it. Go all the way into it. Our great earth asks for action, not words. The time to act is now and the need is urgent, for the fate of our home planet hangs in the balance. In spite of the overwhelming environmental, political, social, and emotional challenges we face, we can still solve them all and eternally ennoble the destiny of the planet Earth and all its residents.